For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Doctor Strange is moving out of the Sanctum, magic key sales are paused again,
Wonderground Gallery has a new location, something new at the Haunted Mansion, we talk to D23 head Michael Vargo, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Howdy, partners! For your safety, remain seated with your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast, and be sure to watch your ears. If any of you folks are wearing hats or glasses, best remove them, because Tag and Teresa have the wildest ride in the wilderness!
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of June 12th, 2024. I'm Tag Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to thank everyone who supports the show. This week, we would like to give a special shout out to Lynn B., Elizabeth M., Brenda and Kurt W., and Gretchen D. If you would like to help support the show and get an ad-free version of each episode, head on over to dlweekly.net/support and become an official weekly tier.
Now let's get to the news.
Extra, extra, read all about it. DL Weekly reports from intrepid correspondents Tag and Teresa. You heard it here first, ladies and gents. Breaking news!
A new Pixar character for the resort starts making appearances in Disney California Adventure in a few days. Anger will be meeting and greeting at the Pixar Pier Bandshell.
I think this is really fun. So he is going to start making appearances basically as Inside Out 2 premieres. So some people online were a little bit wondering why maybe one of the new characters wasn't the new meet and greet, but I'm still excited because we've got a range of emotion now. We've got happy, we've got sad, and we've got mad. So yeah, or as their names are, joy, sadness, and anger. So I think it'll be fun. I'm curious to see if Anger comes out with the other two, because I think watching them kind of play off each other might be really fun.
Yeah. I like Anger. I feel like there's definitely a part of me that Anger is there for. Not so much sadness, but
I love sadness.
I can see joy, disgust. There's a lot of disgust in my personality as well. I'm really excited for the new movie. So I'm excited to see that. But I'm also surprised that there are not characters or new emotions from the new movie.
Yeah,
same as you. You'd think that they would do that, but as with some things, you know, it's like, I mean, I'm happy to see Anger.
Definitely,
but they could have added some more. But there's so many characters out now, especially with Pixar Fest going, so that's pretty
exciting. Tons of characters. Well, speaking of characters, fans of the Doctor Strange show in Avengers Campus should quickly make their way to the Ancient Sanctum as soon as possible. The Doctor Strange Mysteries of the Mystic Arts show is having its final performance on June 30th. Doctor Strange will continue to meet and greet with guests throughout the campus.
So I've heard some interesting things about this over the last week or so since this has kind of been mentioned. I heard that some people had seen it recently and there had been like some issues with the magic, let's just say. So I don't know if that's part of it. Well, some more snarky people think that it's part of the contract that they're unionized now and they're just trying to cut things. But I don't know.
Me personally, this show has been going since the start of Avengers Campus. Yeah. I think the timing's a little interesting because why would you be getting rid of an entertainment selection right as we're ramping up into the busy summer vacation season? But also, with this being an outdoor venue, and there's really no shade. It was a little difficult.
At night it was cool, though.
Yeah, loved it at night. But it was a little difficult to watch during the day because it did get warm. But I could see maybe them going and doing a refresh on the show because it has been... We've seen two versions of the show, like, that had, like, one... And by two versions, I mean there was one magic trick that was swapped for another. So not, like, top to bottom, two whole different versions. It's just one piece was different. So I really could see them going and doing a refresh on this show to maybe breathe a little different life into it. But, yeah, otherwise, it's such a gorgeous, gorgeous area. I can't imagine them... not really doing anything. At the very least, Doctor Strange should be doing meet and greets over here.
So something else I saw somebody bring up online that I thought was interesting was they said with the original concept art of Avengers Campus when the big E-ticket was planned,
sure,
the queue for the E-ticket went through this area.
Hmm.
So I thought that was kind of interesting because I'm like, are they preparing to maybe do that because Disneyland Forward got approved and they're talking about spending all this money at the parks that maybe they're like, let's put the E-ticket in.
You know where we might hear more?
D23 Expo.
The parks panel.
Oh, we should have... Anyway. Well, Magic Keys sales have been stopped again. As of June 5th, Magic Keys can only be renewed and no new keys can be purchased. The keys were on sale for 92 days before sales were halted.
That was a crazy run they had for Magic Key sales. That was the longest run I think they've had.
I think
since they brought Magic Keys out. There's a lot of course, we don't know exactly why and what the specifics are. Disney has not released that. I'm almost wondering, though, if it's not just because we're going into the busy summer season, and so it's just kind of a natural time for them to pause so that they're not overextending promises with their Magic Key holders, as well as all of the day ticket guests to kind of help balance that out during this busy, busy season. But I don't think that this is going away. I don't think there's anything that I don't think they're making any radical changes to the program either. I think it's just pausing during the busy summertime season. What are your thoughts?
Can we talk about how they paused this 2 to 3 months before we were thinking of letting our passes lapse to renew later?
Yeah, I don't think we're doing that now.
Well, apparently not. So timing, because
we were talking about it because our last trip that we have planned this year is still within our current keys time frame, and we don't have our next trip. So we've got, this sounds crazy, we have two trips already planned and in the works. We don't have trip number three planned
for this summer.
Yeah, so the two trips we have planned are both within our current keys time frame window before we'd have to renew. So we were thinking, well, depending on when we go next, maybe we just don't renew right away and don't spend that money then, kind of push it down a few months.
Well, and get more out of it,
too. And get more out of it, because then we're going to be using it, get it when we're using it.
Because literally when we renew, which I think is in September, if we don't do any more trips this year, that's months of the password that's wasted.
So we were like, oh, well, they haven't paused sales. So yeah, that maybe that's the more fiscally responsible thing to do. Well, now that they've paused sales, now you've got the fear of, do we let it expire? Because then are they going to be available when we need them to be available? So tough choices.
I'm
going to
play evil person for a minute.
You're going to be evil.
Do you think that they have data on when people buy their passes, and because people might be thinking this, that when the bulk of people have to renew, they're like, oh, sales are paused. All you can do is renew.
You know what it might be is all of the Southern California tickets are hitting their summer blockouts, and all of the Enchant.
Oh, so they're trying to prevent people from upgrading or whatever?
I wonder if it's to try and pause. I think they're trying to, pause. Pause demand, I guess, would be a good way of saying it, because they already have high demand with all of the already tickets, the day tickets, plus the Magic Key tiers that do have the summer availability. There's a lot of demand for the summer just because it's so popular. So that's my thought, because I know the summer blockout period did just start for specifically the Southern California Pass.
I'm just curious. I was just thinking, I was wondering, because you can only renew certain things. I was curious if Disney would allow us to upgrade to a different tier of pass, even though it's sold out. So I was just going to check that real quick. By the way, totally unrelated, but I want to just mention it because I'm so excited. This may be completely premature, but the days of Disney.go.com might be numbered, because they moved the Disney Parks blog off of it onto DisneyParksBlog.com. So I'm hoping the Disneyland.com will not be Disneyland.Disney.go.com in the future.
But if you just type in Disneyland.com, it takes you where it needs to go.
I know, but it's still obnoxious. Anyway, I was unable to determine if we can upgrade because my pass is not eligible for renewal yet.
But weren't you able to upgrade even when you're within your... Maybe not. Maybe I make that up.
You're what?
Even though we're in the middle of our pass, can you upgrade it mid-term? Or however you want to say that. I don't know. I've never paid attention.
I don't know
for
either.
For sure you can with tickets. But anyways, Very curious. So if you were hoping to get a magic key, unfortunately, you're going to have to wait. Magic key sales will definitely be back. My guess is...
Do they hit their number summer, and now they're going to wait for people to cancel, then they'll hit the number
maybe
again?
Maybe after summer, or it might even be at, like, into the fall. I don't know. Maybe it won't be until next year, because the rest of the year is kind of crazy for the park, like, busy-wise for the parks, because you've got the summer with all the vacations, and then you've got Halloween time, and then you've got the holiday time, so... It might.
But they also have this ticket deal, so it's not
they do.
Like
they do have a really, really great ticket deal going on.
We
right
should
now
just
too.
Stop trying to read the tea leaves and just be like, Disney knows what's happening.
Yep, they know. They know what's going on. They know. Well, one of our favorite locations in downtown Disney has reopened in a new location. Wonderground Gallery reopened Friday in the former California Soul location between Napolini Pizzeria and Salt and Straw. So, what does that mean? Ooh, it's closer to where the parks are.
I thought this was, like, I had to, like, so I pulled up the map today, and on Disneyland's website, they don't have Wonderground listed yet.
No.
But in the app, you could find it. Or no, in the app, I don't remember.
It's listed
I couldn't
in one
find
place,
it.
But not
yeah,
the other.
I couldn't find it. But I realized I looked where California Soul was, and that's where this is. So I kind of like the inside of this. It is smaller than the old location.
It is.
But I kind of like it. It's neat.
The
I like
thing
this background.
That I'm so happy about with the new location. I haven't determined if this is a permanent location or if this is just a temporary location until they get like a new permanent spot, because it looks a little bit like California, the shoe store left and then they just kind of moved Wonderground right in. It doesn't look like they did a lot of like Disneyfying or theming of the space just yet. But the thing that makes me the most excited is it's taking Wonderground back to its roots. It's all art that's in here. We don't have a mixture of art and merch and maybe some clothing items and maybe, who knows, like lunch boxes or something. Like, it's all prints and artwork. They've got one of the sketch artists doing their thing in the middle of the shop, too. So I like that it's back to like the gallery roots again.
Okay, you're absolutely right. I have never been in this space. But I just did a Google search for California Soul, like, when it was open. And you're right. All they did was keep all the stuff, and then they put stuff in that was for Wonderground.
Mm-hmm.
I still think this ceiling and stuff looks really cool. It still, like, goes with, like, the whole aesthetic,
I guess. Yeah, it still
works.
Well, and the other thing, too, is it's a gallery. The focus really shouldn't be on the design of the space. It should be, you know, the main focus is on the art. So I get it.
I'm just glad it's still there.
Me too. I can't wait. I do hope that this space is big enough for them to still be able to do artist meet and greets and signings. Maybe they won't be able to do it inside of the space. Maybe it'll be outside of the shop, but I'm just super excited about this. We're going to have to make sure we go check it out when we're there.
Of course. Well, Din Tai Fung will open later this summer in Downtown Disney with some unique merchandise. The merchandise will be exclusive and have two collections. The DTF Essentials Collection will feature a hoodie and shirt with a decorative patch to play homage to the original location in Taiwan. And the Anaheim Collection will feature the mascot, Bao Bao, and his friend, Xiaomi. So that's kind of cool.
I was not expecting there to be merch with Din Tai Fung, but it's nice looking, and I have to say I am a fan of the adorable little mascot Bao Bao. They are very cute with their little like steamer hat accessory. It's adorable. There's pins, there's hats.
Are you gonna get one of these things?
Maybe a pin. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, the pins are cute.
I really like the pin. So I think the pin.
I am very excited for this, and I know you say it won't be open by next week, which is probably true. But also,
I mean,
I think it might be open for D23.
I think for sure it'll be open by D23.
I am very excited to try this, but I'm also very excited to try the restrooms
right next to it. We're going to have to book our reservation for when we're there for D23, like as soon as Din Tai Fung opens. I'm assuming they're doing reservations. I guess we don't know that yet for sure. But we're going to have to book that like ASAP, because I think this is going to be one poppin' place.
Okay, Teresa, the next two stories are big ones for us.
Yes. Well, Tag is overjoyed at this next bit of news. Last week, we reported on the new security entrance at Downtown Disney. At that time, the old entrance with the temporary-looking tents was still in place. Tag, I hope you know I put this bit of news in just for you because I knew how much joy it was going to bring you.
Yay!
Well, this week, those temporary tents that have been annoying Tag for some time now, they're gone.
In its place, Marcella Sweat, who yes. we've reported on before, is making a nice mural of Ember.
It looks really cool. And it's a vertical one. Usually she's doing her chalk art on the pavement, so it's on the ground.
This looks like
it looks like it's not that she's painting the construction wall, but it's up against the construction wall.
I am so happy that this ugly tent structure is gone. I am hoping beyond hope that the west side is next, but I think we have to determine what they're going to do with the west side before they spend any money on it. But anyway, those tents can go away too. I'm very excited
for
this. I'm
kind of surprised. I really thought that they might keep this open at least temporarily just for hotel guest security. Maybe they're going to put a more permanent structure in and still do that. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I've been excited. Now it's time for you to get excited. What was the hashtag?
Save Teresa's trees.
Hashtag Save Teresa's Trees coming in. Teresa is overjoyed at this piece of news. New trees have been planted in the Haunted Mansion construction area near the train station. This is to replace the trees that have been removed to perform the work that was needed in the area at the beginning of the year.
And
Teresa, talk about these.
Can we appreciate? We're not talking little like twigs. Someday, one day is going to grow up to be a big tree. Oh, no. These are big trees that they're not as big as the ones that we lost, but they are quite mature, these trees that they're putting in there. I was so upset that they took trees away, but we're putting trees back in. I'm so happy. Again, they aren't the big, beautiful, historic growth that was there, but
I think we need to re-record this because I said I was overjoyed at the thing, but you just overjoyed me.
Well, look at the tree. Look at how big it is. I can't wait to see this update. I cannot wait to go on the Mark Twain. Maybe we'll have to bring some binoculars so we can really get a good look at these things. But I don't know. It's just so fun.
Oh, look at that. That's concrete.
And there's like, they put like Spanish moss is hanging in the tree. Ooh, it's going to.
That's going to go well with Tiana. Eerie.
Yes. And like just the eeriness too. Oh, I can't wait. There's still no movement on the exit side of the mansion where the shop is going to be, which is very interesting. But we have trees. We have new trees.
Who will speak for the trees? Teresa will speak for the trees.
I will speak for the trees. Well, a classic Disneyland shop now has a second location. This was genius move, whoever decided to do this. The Silhouette Shop on Main Street is still in its original location on Main Street next to the Crystal Arts, but is offering the service in the Disney Anna Shop, which is near the entrance of the parks, and it's over by like where Lincoln is, next to the theater. So this is adding additional capacity. Brilliant, 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 because the news got out as to how amazing these Silhouettes are.
Well, they've been a staple at the parks for as long as I can remember.
They have been, but they're kind of, it was this under... Underappreciated, I guess, would be a good way of saying it. A lot of people, I don't think, really knew they were there. It was a well-kept secret, if you will. But since the park shut down and since the Silhouette Shop was shuttered for quite some time, it kind of drew, I don't know, a little bit of a stir and excitement. And man, the Silhouette Shop has been very, very busy ever since then. There's frequently will be there and you see lines out the door of people waiting to go have this experience done. So I think that was a really smart move for Disney to add a separate kind of overflow station so that people are still able to get this really awesome, one-of-a-kind custom souvenir, but not have the same time wait.
Can we also talk about how much of an awesome deal
it is? It's a great deal. It really is.
Because I'm just looking. Disneyland doesn't have it posted, but I'm looking at their website. It's like $11.99 per person.
I was going to say it's like $12 or something.
Yeah. That's great. You get the little plastic frame comes with it. Like.
Oh, no. I think you have to pay it.
Do you have to pay extra for the frame?
I think so.
Anyway.
We'll have to check it out when we're there next week.
It is definitely an awesome, awesome thing, and I am so glad that they are expanding this. Oh, frames are $20.
Yep.
But it's worth it. The frame is cool.
For such a custom thing, it's a great deal.
Yeah.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I up, down, touch the ground, I think of things to chew, like honey and milk and chocolate. With a hefty, happy appetite, I'm a hefty, happy poo. A rumbly in my tumbly means it's time for snacks.
This week for Snack Chat, we are talking about the Blue Bayou. We're continuing our tour around the park, doing all the different food places. While I was gone, Teresa told me, as we were prepping for this, that her and Vern covered the River Boyle Terrace and the Royal Street Veranda.
The Royal Street Veranda.
Which Teresa described it to me as the place we always forget what it's called.
Yeah, exactly. Because for some reason, the name always escapes me. Well, so the Blue Bayou is back. As you all know, it's one of our favorite places. However, something interesting has happened. They have updated the menu since we have been there last. So we will talk through this menu, but we actually haven't gotten to try anything off of the new version of the menu just yet. So Blue Bayou is open for lunch and dinner. It is famous because of its setting. It is the coolest, most themed, most immersive dining experience at Disneyland, in my opinion.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Why do you think, because it's such an immersive experience and people love it, why are there not more restaurants in attractions at the parks?
I don't know.
Because there are really... So, like, for instance, Be Our Guest at Disney World is next to the attraction. So there is no attraction there for that. Because that's
it's its own
Little
separate
Mermaid
thing. Yeah.
I just don't know why they don't make more... So now, in Disney World, there is a restaurant that's not themed to it, but there is a restaurant next to... It's a small world that looks out to the loading area. But how come there aren't more? You would think Disney would be like, look, this is super popular.
Unless
people love this.
It's just a space thing. It's just a spacing and timing and
also,
logistics
thing.
Also, I would
be remiss if I did not say inside the Mexico Pavilion at Epcot, there's also a restaurant next to the Three Caballeros attraction. But anyway... But it's just one of those things. I was just confused.
It's very, very cool, though. All right. For the starters, we have crab cakes with a remoulade sauce and petite apple arugula salad. There's also a chicken gumbo, which both producers, Vern and James, really enjoy the gumbo here. Like, I think every time we go, they seem to need to have the gumbo. That's how much they enjoy the gumbo. And the gumbo there is made with ham and Julie sausage and peppers with steamed rice.
There's also a strawberry and pistachio spinach salad, which has toasted quinoa, blue cheese, and purple radish with aged balsamic, and a rosemary and sea salt brioche with butter and seasonal jam.
You know what? I would just order the starter menu as my entree. That sounds good.
Wow. For entrees, for the lunch menu, they have a blackened ribeye that comes with mashed potatoes, seasoned vegetables, herb bone marrow butter, and peppercorn demi, and a Creole roasted chicken that has andouille sausage, roasted shrimp, Creole rice, and Creole sauce.
There's also a sustainable market fish with pigeon peas and wilted greens rice, peanut habanero, herb salad, and a coconut lime beurre blanc. Whew. For lunch, that sounds very
You're not a fish person,
very
though.
Nice. No, but just like a peanut habanero.
Sure. Yuck. And what's the last one?
And then the classic Monte Cristo, which comes with potato chips, stone fruit salad, seasonal preserves, and remoulade.
The one difference for dinner is at dinner, they do not have the Monte Cristo, but in its place, they have the Oscar-style filet mignon, which comes with lump crab, béarnaise sauce, grilled asparagus, and petite apple arugula salad. Wow, that comes with crab? I didn't know that.
Fancy. Well, over on the plant-based menu, which is available for both lunch and dinner, there is a strawberry and pistachio spinach salad as the starter, which comes with toasted quinoa, blue cheese, and purple radish with aged balsamic. That sounds so good. There is a pistachio lemon basil pasta, which has asparagus, squash blossoms, pea tendrils, and cherry tomatoes in a pistachio basil pesto. And to finish that all off for dessert, they have a creme brulee tart, which is vanilla bean creme brulee in a tart shell.
And for lunch only, the strawberry and pistachio spinach salad gets replaced with a heirloom tomato and watermelon salad, which are greens, agave crema, and pickled watermelon rind and shallot vinaigrette.
Oh.
What do you have for desserts for lunch?
For desserts.
Or your dinner. I'm lunch.
Your lunch.
For lunch, I've got...
I think it's the same. Yes, the same.
Okay. Phantasmic chocolate decadence tart, which is a dark chocolate coffee custard with a chocolate cookie crust, and a petite sundae, which has chocolate pieces and chocolate syrup.
There's also a chocolate Basque cheesecake with seasonal fruit and panaba sorbet, as well as assorted macarons. I'm going to say this right now. So we had Blue Bayou reservations for Fantasmic. On Monday, the first day that we were there, we first were looking at the menu, and with the price tag and with the menu, we were kind of like, kind of going back and forth. And then they announced that Rancho also was going to be adding a dining package. We looked at that menu. For some reason, all of us got really excited about that menu. It's a lower price point. We were still able to, you know, still had reserved dining, not front and center. It was just front and slightly off center because you're next to the Blue Bayou. So we decided we're going to try and switch. You know what? I'm having second thoughts, Tag, now that we've just gone through this menu.
But you can only pick the stuff that's on their menu for the thing.
It's true. But anyway.
No second thoughts.
I know, no second thoughts. But I'm having second thoughts, kind of. But anyways, we're saving money.
You shouldn't.
So it's okay because the Blue Bayou one is $89 per person. And what I would have picked, I would have only wanted half of because I don't.
So the Blue Bayou, just so you know, is for the dining package for Fantasmic, it's a 4-course lunch or dinner. Mm-hmm. And you get a voucher that gets you reserve viewing for the location of your choice of one of two Fantasmic performances. For lunch and dinner, you can choose between the Surf and Turf, the Oscar-style filet mignon, the blackened rib eye and bourbon shrimp, the gumbo, heirloom tomato and watermelon salad, and the strawberry and pistachio salad. For dessert, you've got the Fantasmic-inspired chocolate decadence tart, and you get a souvenir item for non-alcoholic beverages, which I think is a glow cube. So,
yeah, so you do get to choose a starter, an entree, and
They added the Oscar-style filet mignon because yes. We were talking about this part, which is the blackened ribeye and bourbon
but
shrimp.
But no, but the filet still comes with crab.
Oh, sure.
So I would have to have paid. The thing that looked the best to me was an additional charge and only half. I'm not a seafood person. And so only half of it would have been what I wanted. But so we will have to give Blue Bayou a try again. Maybe not for the Fantasmic dining package price. Maybe just go just to kind of pick and choose what we want.
Sure.
More so than being locked into the menu, the 4-course menu. But yeah. Yum, yum, yum.
For kids, you can do a create your own entree, which your main is going to be a roasted chicken, which gets you a choice of two selections. The selections are market vegetables, steamed rice, seasonal fruit, or mashed potatoes. You also get a small low-fat milk or small Dasani water. So that's the roasted chicken. The whole grain pasta is the main. Same thing for the drinks. Same thing for the selections. What are the other two options?
There's also sautéed shrimp or petite steak. Everything, like Tag said, comes with a choice of two of these sides and a choice of milk or water.
And a recent, relatively, thing is that they offer alcohol there now. So you can get some wine, some sparkling wine. They have draft beer. They have some signature cocktails like a Hurricane or a Melograno Orange Blossom Martini or a Melograno Melon Margarita. And then, of course, there's some non-alcoholic beverages like your fountain beverages.
They have mint juleps there. And there's also, we enjoy getting the Louisiana Lemonade, which is Minute Maid Lemonade Sprite mixed with mango and raspberry, which is
Did you also see they had a 31 Royal Street signature julep, which you need to ask about?
We've not ever asked about that.
Yeah.
Yum.
Yeah.
Delicious. Yeah. Delicious food. It's an elevated dining experience. It is one of the finer dining experiences that you're going to find inside of one of the Disney theme parks. And the ambiance is second to none. It is so cool, like Tag said, to be sitting basically in an attraction. If you can, we always recommend that you ask to be seated as close to the water as you can, because then you can watch the people go past in their pirate boats before they take the plunge down into the Pirates of the Caribbean. Really, really cool. Really, really awesome. Love, love, love Blue Bayou. Well, hope you all have your calendars marked, because this coming Saturday, the 15th, which is wild to me that we are days away from our next trip, we are going to be in the park. And you know what that all means? We are having a DL Weekly Tier meetup. We will be meeting at the Disneyland picnic area, which is, if you're looking at the entrance to Disneyland, it's to the left, kind of by, like, in between where the trams turn and where the restrooms are. It's actually kind of hidden. If you don't know it's there, we've got it circled on a map. Follow our social media. We have a little map that shows, you know, X marks the spot kind of thing. But we will be hanging out in the Disneyland picnic area this Saturday, June 15th, starting at 5 p.m. We'll be there, I'm going to assume, probably at least until 7 p.m. So if you are in the area, please come say hi. Also, if you are not able to make it to our meetup, we will be in the parks the rest of that week. So if you...
Starting Monday.
So if you see us, please stop us and say hello. We would love to say hi, maybe be able to catch an attraction. But at the very least, we always have time to say hello and grab a quick photo or something with you.
Absolutely.
Oh, and don't forget, we also have fun items and little gifts for our listeners that find us in the park. So if you do find us, make sure you come say hi so that you can get your fun little button that you only receive once you've met us in person.
And always, if you see us in the park, feel free to come up and say hi to us. We don't bite. We love meeting listeners.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Reminder for all weekly tiers. These questions can feel like a high-speed roller coaster type ride in the dark, with self-high fives, sudden drops, and stumps. Follow all pre-launch procedures, including stowing hats, glasses, and all loose possessions in the cargo pouch located directly in front of you.
Welcome to Trivia Land, where we've got some questions from me and some questions from listeners, and they're all just great questions. At least I think so.
We're in trouble.
You're not biased at all.
No biases over here. How are you two feeling tonight? Are you ready? You got some great knowledge in your heads?
You're way too excited for us to feel good about this.
Well, see, now I'm going to be hopeful, Ted, because I feel like our brains are like extra in Disneyland, since we're going to be there this weekend and next week.
Very true.
So I'm gonna
just a matter of days
that the pre-trip whatever
okay
is working in our favor.
You got the extra neurons firing.
Fingers
crossed. Pre-trip excitement. All right. Well, let's see how you do then. Teresa and I were recently watching the Jim Henson Idea Man special on
so good
on Disney
Plus.
Did
you see it? Oh, it's good.
And that inspired me to try to come up with some questions of my own for Trivia Land. So, first question from me. What year was Jim Henson inducted as a Disney legend?
Oh.
That's a great question. You watched this show, so I
didn't talk about it in the show.
I was going to say it because I am a...
I wasn't going to make it that easy.
I'm going to say...
When did they start doing legends?
I don't...
Like 92 or something?
Did they? I don't remember when they started.
Disney Legends. It was established in 87.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh my.
Okay.
Hey, no Googling.
I was just figuring out when it started.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna say 92.
I'm gonna say 97.
So 92 and 97, final answers.
Yes.
All right. Your second question, this one also written by me. In 1991, Disney World got a Muppets attraction, Muppet Vision 3D. What year did this attraction finally come to Disneyland?
Ooh.
Oh.
Well, it was in California Adventure. Was it right away? Was it 2001?
I'm trying to... I think so. Yeah, 2001. February.
2001.
2001. Final answer from both of you?
Final.
My final answer is February 2001.
Oh.
He said...
Oh, do you know the specific date of February?
Ho, 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 ho.
Mr. Fancy Pants. Mm.
Oh, God. What date did Disney California Adventure open? February 9th?
February 9th, final answer?
Yeah, well, don't judge me on the 9th. But February 2001. I think it was February 9th, but I could be wrong.
Okay. All right. Well, moving away from my shenanigans, we'll get into some listener-submitted questions. This one coming from listener Keith N. Who was the original sponsor of the Enchanted Tiki Room, and what were they promoting?
It was... Oh, dang it.
It wasn't Dole?
It was an airline. But now I don't remember what the airline was. It was an airline.
It wasn't like Tahitian Airlines or whatever, was it?
I don't know. I don't remember. It was an airline, and it was like travel to Hawaii was what they were promoting.
Was it Hawaiian Airlines?
I don't know. I don't think so. But yeah, it was an airline.
It's a great question.
Are you hopping on my plane, or are you going to stick with the Dole Whips?
It's not Dole Whips. I mean, it could be, but I don't... I'm going to say it was Tahitian Airlines, just to be different. Because it was like Tahitian...
What do you mean, to be different?
Well, you... Wait, because what was the question? What was it?
Yeah.
Vern, did you want the airline?
The original question was, what was the original sponsor, and what were they promoting?
Well, they were promoting travel to Hawaii, and they were an airline, and I'm going to say it was Tahitian Airlines. Are you going to say it was a specific airline,
or
are you just going
to say
an airline?
Nope, because I don't remember what the airline was.
All right. Well, Vern, will you accept if it was an airline? Would you accept an airline?
So you're both saying Hawaii is what they were promoting,
correct?
And Tag is saying Tahitian Air, and Teresa is just saying an airline.
Yes. Yep.
All right. Final answer.
Sure.
All righty. Your third or fourth and final regular round question from listener Sarah P. Now, you may recall that Sarah P. has had some great questions regarding the origins and the building of DCA. Which Walt Disney World hotel was the resort inside the park supposed to be based off of?
What?
What resort? What in the
Walt Disney World resort was?
So in previous questions, we've established that there is a resort inside DCA.
Yeah. So what? Yeah, but what would it have been?
And that was based off of a Disney World hotel.
Wilderness Lodge.
What hotel is that?
Yeah, Wilderness Lodge. Now, if you're going by the name is based off the Grand Floridian.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not what the style is. Mm-hmm. Are you going for style or name?
I think that's what we're supposed to try and determine.
Specifically, I want the name.
Okay, Grand Floridian.
What? You want the name of the hotel, or specifically the hotel was the name
Which Disney World hotel was the resort inside the park going to be based off of?
Yes, but thematically or the name? Is what our question
was. Asking for the name of the hotel.
Yes, you're, okay, but...
Well, the question, Vern, is, are you saying the name of the resort that's... Or the name of the hotel that's in the resort was based off of, or the design of the hotel? I know you want the name.
We know we want the Walt Disney World Hotel name.
Yeah.
The name of the hotel will do.
Okay.
So that is...
He's not budging on giving
I'm
us
I'm going to say Grand Floridian, then. What are you saying?
I don't know. I'm more confused about the question now than when it was originally asked. Because I thought we were going theme, but you're right. Grand Floridian is the name. But now I'm torn.
I think it's name.
I'll go Grand Floridian then.
Woo!
All right, so Grand Floridian, final answer?
You're staying in my room on that one?
Well, you've hopped on my airline.
Yep.
And
all right.
Well, I hopped on a plane. I didn't hop on necessarily your airline, but yes. All right. What type of crazy bonus do we have, Vern?
All right. And your bonus question from listener Cooper C.
Well, that's been a while.
On the attraction Casey Jr. Circus Train, there are two parts from another still existing attraction that are now two train cars. What attraction did these two train cars come from, and what are the train cars?
I think it's the bench ones from the, the carousel?
Yes, that's what it is. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, the benches.
So there's two, bench ones.
Two kind of just, open air seaters.
And it came from the King Arthur carousel.
Yep. And so I was like, gosh, I've heard this one. I've heard this one before. What is it? Yes.
Because originally what was screwing me up is I thought, what other train was in Disneyland that they would be from? And I'm like, well, there wasn't anything else like that except for the Viewliner, but that's not going to be right. But then they're wait, benches.
They're kind of like sleighs, maybe, would be kind of the
They're
style.
Kind of sleighs and they're kind of open air. Yeah. They're not the little cages.
Yeah. Not the cages.
Yeah.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Final.
And you're saying they're from King Arthur's Carousel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Final answer?
Yeah. James's nemesis is the cage ones.
They're for kids. An adult can't get in there safely.
No.
Adults do get in there, but poor James.
Said safely.
That's true.
I mean, especially with James's back lately. Adult maybe does get in there, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So the final answer is there.
Final.
Excellent. All right. Well, listeners, how did you do listening at home? How do you think Tag and Teresa did? If you stick around until after the discussion, we can all find out together.
All right. Well, for this week, we have a very special guest joining us. We have Michael Vargo with us. He is the head of D23. And of course, you all know that we're D23 club members. We go to the expo each year. So we're very, very excited to have you on with us. So welcome, Michael.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to talk to you all and finally be on the podcast. This is exciting.
Yeah.
Well, yes, thank you. We're so glad that you took the time out of your busy day, because I feel like when you're from us talking to you previously, that you always have a billion things going on. So the fact that you take any time out to talk to us is greatly appreciated. Mm-hmm. So we'll get right into it. So tell us your Disney story. What got you interested in Disney? It can be as detailed as you like. Just kind of like what got you to where you are today?
How much time do we have? Let me tell you, I go way back. No, and, I actually grew up loving Disney. I mean, Disney was such a part of my childhood. I grew up in Anaheim, born and raised there. And my parents still live in the same house that I grew up in. And it was practically in the backyard of Disneyland. Wow. Feels like. So every night you knew what time it was at 9 o'clock because you get the fireworks from our house, which was very exciting. Still hear them to this day when I go visit mom and dad. So it's great. But I went to Disneyland all the time as a kid and as a teenager and just had a blast and never really thought I would be working there, to be quite honest. But because it was just a place you would go, as you know, that we all just love and disconnect and have. It's the fantasy, you know, being in a magical place. And it truly is. That's what it was all about as a kid, you know, and as a teenager, and did some really fun things. I remember going to the 30th anniversary party of Disneyland. They had their 30-year celebration. It was a weekend-long party. So it started wow. early on Friday. It ended late night Sunday. The park never closed. And you got to come into the park and just ride all the attractions and do all these fun things for a whole weekend. I remember we slept in these gigantic phone booths that they had in Tomorrowland. It was these Pacific Bell phone booths that were like state of the art at the time because they were speakerphones. So you can go into this booth and have a conversation on a speakerphone. I know I'm dating myself, but we used to go in those phone booths and we used to take a nap at like 4 a.m. because we were so tired. And anyways, it was a lot of fun. So I had a lot of great experiences growing up and had my grad night at Disneyland. So I auditioned to be a performer at Disneyland in 1992. And that's where I started. So that's where my career journey at Disney began, was back in 1992. So
Wow. So you've done a little bit of everything from parks to now heading up, you know, the biggest expo of the year for Disney fans. So that's incredible.
Hand over the archives and all of that. I mean, it's so you seem to be over a lot of stuff that we really like. I will say I just got off of a Disney, a 13-night transatlantic where Kevin Kearns was on.
Yeah. Exciting.
He was fantastic. In fact, we joked with him a little bit because he played some of the trivia on board. And we were always teasing him, like, you can't play the trivia. And he's like, I'm only doing the answers for me. I'm not taking part. But we actually got to play one round of trivia with him because he was there. The people he was with weren't at that trivia or whatever. And it was like music trivia or something that wasn't even Disney. So he's like, yeah, you want to join the team? We're like, sure. So it was, he's a great guy. Great presentation. So glad you guys could do that for that. But anyway.
A great trip, by the way.
It was.
All right, so Michael, what is your favorite attraction? So even though this is a Disneyland podcast, we're not biased. You can choose any from any of the parks around the world.
You know, I have to go with the Matterhorn at Disneyland. Yeah. It's always been my favorite since I was a kid. I was actually scared to go on that, and I was actually afraid of the abominable snowman in there. I used to ride the Skyway through there and close my eyes. I don't like to hear or see him and plug my ears, but I didn't want to hear him because it used to scare me. But now I love it, and it's just, I think it's the nostalgia of it that I just gravitate toward. But I love the Matterhorn. It's so much fun, you know. But I also love so many other attractions at so many of the other parks. I mean, Flight of Passage at Animal Kingdom and Pandora is just mind-blowing. If you haven't been on Pirates of the Caribbean in Shanghai Disneyland, I highly recommend that you do. It is an incredible experience like no other. So there's some favorites I have in each of the parks, but you know, at the end of the day, nothing beats the Matterhorn. Nowhere else can you find it.
You know, a couple years ago, so one of the online news places said that they thought, cause there was some maintenance issues with it or whatever, that they were going to like tear it down. And I'm like, no, they're not. And I don't think they will, because what else could you put in that footprint, right? You'd have to, like, that's kind of the only thing that could fit in that small footprint. So I hope it sticks around for ever and ever.
It's so iconic with the landscape of Disneyland. I mean, you know, I always remember hearing the traffic report on the radio saying, in the shadow of the Matterhorn is the 5 freeway and it's backed up. So, you know.
Oh. Well, plus it's got a history, right? It's the first tubular steel roller coaster created. Like, you know, I feel like it's very difficult. But
I have to say, one of my favorite memories, I actually got to go up to the very top of the Matterhorn.
Ooh.
And it's pretty cool. It's high up there. I didn't realize it's as high as it is. And, you know, Tinkerbell flies from there and had some other performers fly off the top of the Matterhorn before. And I don't think I could ever do that. But it was really cool to go up there.
Did you get to like look out the place where they come out from?
I got a little hatch and I got to go and see. A little bit of a platform up there to look out.
Sure.
Pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
I don't know if I could look at it. I don't like heights.
I don't want. I definitely couldn't be hooked up to the apparatus to then just like go.
No, I'm not going to do that either. No flying for me.
Man, the 50th fireworks though, man, if you ever watch videos of that, Tinkerbell like came out and like dropped like, I don't know, 100 feet or something. Right off the bat, and I was like, "I could nope."
She's brave.
Nope.
She's brave. It's all that pixie dust.
they'd have to tell me I wasn't doing that, and then it would do it, and I'd be screaming, and everybody, all the guests would be like, "What is that noise?" But anyway,
I have to go back and look at some old archival videos. We've done some pretty interesting things off the Matterhorn. I remember one year was before my time, by the way. I just hear the story a lot. You know, there was a baby that was thrown off for New Year's, not a real baby.
Right.
As a baby.
Yeah.
We threw off the Matterhorn, you know, to jump across the sky to celebrate New Year's. And so there's some interesting, you know, Dumbo, I know, has gone across there and Tinkerbell, of course. So
Santa. For the holidays, didn't they used to light it up like a Christmas tree?
They did.
Way back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they had the star on there for a long years, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I sometimes wonder, like, how come Disney doesn't do stuff like this anymore? But anyway,
there's a reason. There's always a reason.
Well, let's get into the meat of what people are really going to be interested in hearing about from you. Of course, being the head of the D23 fan club and expo and everything that entails, kind of
the ultimate Disney fan event.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think a lot of people listening to this podcast are ultimate Disney fans. Mm-hmm. So kind of how did you end up where you are? Let's start there. How did you end up in this awesome position that I think a lot of people would die for?
I know. I still pinch myself every day. Like, is this job for real? Because it's like the best job in the world. It truly is. You know, I love coming to work every day. I love the people I get to work with every day. We get to do some really amazing things. It's a great experience. So it really, truly is not really a job. You know, it just feel like it's part of my life. And I absolutely love it. So. And it's great to be so love what you do and love the product that you get to work with, because that I think makes a world of difference in your health and lifestyle and everything. You know, it's just you know, you get to do what you love, which is really cool and unique. So I actually started working on the first D23 event back in 2009 when D23 was first created 15 years ago. So I was really working behind the scenes in an event producer capacity for D23 Expo. Back then, it was a 4-day event. You know, we actually did this for 4 days in 2009. And it was a great experience. We learned a lot. And look at what it's become today. You know, it's really morphed and changed. So I worked on a lot of the D23 events starting in 2009. Up until they appointed me the head of D23. So I was working really behind the scenes on the events. And in 2016, they said, hey, would you like to come run the fan club as well? And by the way, we're going to give you the Walt Disney Archives and all this other stuff that I get to work on, which is really exciting. So, you know, who would say no to that? And here I am. And it's been a really great ride.
I find it fascinating that the same person that runs the, I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense now that I'm like saying it out loud, but the same person who does the fan club is also over the archives. Like that's cool. It seems to kind of make sense, but like, I think off the top of my head, I would never have thought that would have been like the same person.
Yeah. It's a good synergy though, you know, and Becky Klein is really the face of the Walt Disney Archives. I mean, she is, you know, the director of the archives, has been for years. She's such a remarkable person and just a wealth of knowledge, and it's just a well-oiled machine over there. So, you know, it's a good synergy that we have with D23, and a lot of the content that comes to D23 is from the Walt Disney Archives. A lot of our experiences that we're doing, and we're really taking the archives on a different level as well and bring it into today's standards, you know, bringing exhibits out to the world now from archives and sharing all of these great assets and collections that we have in the archives. That's what we really want to do. You know, it's like we have warehouses of stuff. So let's let everyone see it all. So it's a great partnership that we really have.
Well, sure. I can tell you as a fan, we appreciate that. I remember when I first was younger and learned of the archives, I'm like, what? There's just these secret warehouses full of all of this cool, like, history and all this stuff. And so it was kind of this, I don't know, it was like a secret, but everybody knew it existed. So the more that it's kind of morphed and come out into the public starting, I don't know, if D23 Expos is where it kind of started and then grew from there. But I tell you, as a fan, we get super excited about it. I don't even care if I see the same things on display. I still get excited to see those things because never in a million years would you have told, like, Tiny Teresa watching Mary Poppins that one day you could be, like, this far away from the snow globe or, like, see the bed knob from Bed Knobs and Broomsticks, you know, and all that fun stuff. It's
There's wild. Something pretty magical and pretty cool about seeing your hero, you know, costume there. It's like, wow, that's the costume that Chadwick wore or something. Yeah. You know, it's just like, wow, that's really cool. Like, it's the real stuff, you know, it's a real thing. I remember a few years ago when I first got the job of the archives, Becky, I said, okay, Becky, tell me all the secrets. I need to know where everything is. She took me around to the different warehouses and we went to one, I remember, and we just rows and rows of shelves with boxes on them. I'm like, what are in all these boxes? She goes, we finally cataloged everything, but it's the most random things you would ever think of. She goes, just pick a box off the shelf and see what's in it. And we did. And there's no rhyme or reason as to why things are on the shelves the way that they are. And I picked up this one box and it's full of old Halloween masks from 1960s, Disney Halloween masks. So there's an old Tinkerbell mask in there and everything else. And then the next box might be, Walt's gloves that he used to wear. Or something. I mean, so random, you know, but great stuff, great treasures. I have to say, it's a lot of fun.
Is there a favorite treasure of that for you that's in the archives or something that you're just like, I can't believe we have this and that this still exists?
Oh, that's such a hard question. I love so much of it. You know, I kind of geeked out over the Hocus Pocus stuff that we have.
Yes.
Fan of that and or am and when I saw that I'm like, I didn't know you have all the you have all the costumes, you have all it's so that's I think that's kind of fun.
Something you mentioned that I think like that I notice about the costumes is not only do you see the costumes, which is really cool, and how much detail are in these things that you might not even pay attention to on screen but like really make a difference when you see them, but also you can get an idea of the size of the actors. Yeah. Like sometimes I'm like, wow, that actor's very tall or this actor's very short or you learn all this stuff. And I'm like, it's almost like getting to meet them because you kind of get a sense of them through their costume, which and stuff like we've seen like Jack Sparrow's costume. I'm like, there's so many details here that I never would have picked up on screen. So it's crazy. All of that stuff.
Yeah, the costume designer's amazing talent for sure.
And we saw when we were on the cruise ship, there was a they talked about some of the costumes on the cruise ship and how they have to like maintain them and do different things with them and how they all come apart and stuff. Just fascinating how they have like it's obviously a whole art form that these people do. And you don't think about because it looks so effortless on screen.
It is. No, it's truly a work of art that, you know, that they put forth in that they pour their heart and souls in those things. It's really incredible. Really incredible.
So it is the ultimate Disney fan event, and this is the first year that it's split, which is kind of like, it's wild, A, that it's grown that big, but B, that I just can't fathom how you and your team put this all together, because it is just a massive, massive event, and
it's definitely a team.
It's an army.
and it really is. It takes a village to pull this thing together. And, you know, we couldn't do it without the amazing partners across the company and all the teams that we really rally together to build this out. And, you know, we start this the day after the last one. Well, we take a day off, but we really pick it back up right away. And because there's a lot of work that needs to be done and go into this when you think about, you know, organizing and scheduling the venues that book up years in advance, by the way, you know, so it's really challenging because we need a full week for setup time, rehearsal time, everything in addition to the show weekend. So organizing all of that in advance really takes a lot of work and effort, and then getting all of our vendors and partners on board to really build out the content and everything that's coming into the event. It's a great big Herculean effort.
I'm actually impressed that it's only a week that you need before. Because
we're now in a week and a half.
Yeah,
it really is a week and a half now. but yeah, we work with what we can, and really start to build this thing out. And it's great this year. So we're like, we wanted to go bigger and do more and give the fans more of what they wanted, more fans to have an opportunity to see these big marquee shows where we were limited before in our capacity. And quite frankly, our production value, you know. So now we're at the Honda Center, which is this enormous arena where we can do some spectacular things in there, some great show production in there. So, our marquee shows Friday, Saturday, Sunday night are going to be unlike anything else we've ever done. I think it's really going to be a great venue to be in. Everyone also now has a reserve seat. They know where they're going to go. They know where they're going to sit. They don't have to wait in line for 2 days, hoping they get in. Mm-hmm. It's really meant to, respond to the feedback that we've heard over the years. It's like, how do we fix the seating situation? So this is one step in that direction, and we think it's going to be great. So it gives us even more real estate, by the way, at the Anaheim Convention Center to work with. So now all D23 is kind of over at the Honda Center. So now we've expanded the show floor into Hall D. So now we have a bigger show floor than ever before. So
it'll be so exciting.
Yeah.
My first question is, like, we obviously in the fan community hear people's feedback about stuff. What have you heard? Are people excited about this? Do they think that this is amazing and this is a positive thing? What have you heard, I guess?
Yes, all of that. Anxiety, excitement, everything, because they don't know what to expect. It's new, and I think for years we were kind of doing the same thing over and over again, but adding a few little bits and pieces here and there. But this is a whole new experience. It's really going to be on a whole new level. I have never seen our partners around the company really rally behind this event like they have this year.
It's
going to be off the charts with, we always try to challenge ourselves with raising the bar every time. And I don't know how we do it, but this year it's pretty remarkable what everyone's coming together providing at the event. It's going to be really great. So I think the fans are excited because it's a whole new shopping experience, a whole new show floor experience, and a whole new presentation experience. So anxiety and excitement.
I understand that. I know the thing that's kind of nice. So Tag and I were talking about this. Everybody wants the big panels. And right now, we have our tickets. We know what we're expecting. We know if we got it. We know if we didn't got it. Versus before, where you'd kind of have the lottery and you'd still hope, or you'd be waiting in line and still hope. So it's kind of nice going into it knowing what you're going to do. But the thing that makes me super excited is, as much as I love those big panels, and we have been very fortunate and got into a lot of them, even with the lottery system, I'm kind of excited to have that time back to then go and spend that, 4 hours or whatever it ends up being, exploring the show floor. And I'm probably just going to be camping at my favorite stage, which I know I'm saying this to you, but my favorite stage is the Walt Disney Archives stage.
It's true.
If I could just book myself a seat and that would just be where I could be the entire weekend, that's where I would be.
I mean, but the archive stage does have a lot of great programming.
Well, and the things that you've already released and teased that are coming to the archive stage are
wait till you see the full lineup. Oh, it's so good. We were just in a meeting earlier today about finalizing some of the schedules for things.
Sure.
And the archive stage is incredible this year. I think you're going to be excited about it all weekend.
All right.
It's it used to be a well-kept secret. It's probably going to be super popular. Everyone's going to learn about it.
Yeah.
Expanded the archive stage as well. So it's in a bigger... It's up on the third floor this year.
Oh.
So it's in a bigger space because we, more people wanted to go see the stuff there. So we're in a bigger space.
Okay. Other than any of the Honda Center programming, which I'm sure is going to be fantastic because I'm sure you guys have all types of secrets. Disney does great entertainment, and with a bigger venue, it's going to be amazing. What are you most excited for personally? Like for you, if you were a guest going, what is the thing that you'd be most excited for this year? Other than the Honda Center stuff.
The things we haven't announced yet.
Oh. It's always they always save the best ones.
Okay,
for last.
Okay. Let's be fair. Of the stuff that's been announced, what are you excited about?
No, I always love Masquerade. Is one of my favorite shows. I think it is so incredible to see the works of art from the fans and the passion that they have for these characters and these costumes and creating this great costume contest, I think is really cool. I mean, that's one of the things I always look forward to is have to go see the Masquerade show. So I think that's one thing I am definitely looking forward to for sure. I know you said nothing at the Honda Center. That's off the limits. The shopping experience this year is pretty remarkable. So we've actually moved all of the Disney shopping, most of it. There's still some on the main show floor, but it's over in the North Hall this year. So it's just across the walkway, and it's going to be a great immersive experience, which looks really cool. I can't wait to see it. Like, I've seen so many renderings and drawings and down plans of things, but to see it live in person, it's going to be really cool. So I'm looking forward to that too. We all love to buy stuff.
Well, and there's sometimes some really sometimes I go through shopping experiences like that and almost treat it like, not like a museum, because you just can't bring it all home. But there's so many, you just never know what you're going to find or see or, you know, any of that stuff. So it's always just so interesting to me.
Yeah. And all the little pockets of shopping things that we have on the show floor as well, from our licensees and our company store and Mickey's of Glendale and the Emporium vendors as well. They always just have some great little treasures. So.
Well, I'm hoping like Mickey's of Glendale will be a little bit bigger than normal with this new space, because it seems like that place is always busy, so always has popular, a line. It's so popular. But also I'm excited for the D23 merch, because I think that the design that you guys have gone with this year, is great. I wanted one of the shirts, but it sold out. But anyway, I'm sure there'll be some at the event though. Yes.
We are going to have, a lot of D23 event merchandise at the Walt Disney Company store. So this is the first time ever that the Walt Disney Company store will be at the D23 event. So this is you might know it as the employee centers at the studio lot. It's that little store next to the main store on the studio lot. It's going to be there, and they're going to be selling all of the event merchandise. And the lineup this year is incredible. And wait till you see the booth. I wish I could share what it's the design of the booth is, but it's really the booth itself is a photo op.
That's cool.
That's kind of like what you were saying, like it's an experience to go shop. Yeah,
it is. Yeah, just to look at all the stuff and see everything, it's really cool. Yeah,
definitely. Wow. One thing I know that a lot of fans were a little nervous about is if they had the Honda Center events, how were they getting to and from, what they were going to do with their stuff. I know that you talked about this when we saw you at the Disneyana event a couple months ago now. So can you kind of talk through that? Because I know there's a lot of worry and kind of, like you said, anxiety about that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. We are going to have plenty of transportation options that we feel really, really good about getting people over to the Honda Center. We actually just sent out a survey to our ticket holders at the Honda Center asking, what is your preference? How do you plan to get over there? Do you plan to park and drive, or drive and park rather? Or do you plan to take a shuttle? Do you plan to take public transportation or car service or something? So we can get some feedback so we can better plan. And we see a lot of people want to take shuttles. We are going to be overstaffed with shuttles, I think. We're going to have plenty of ride options to get over there, with ample time to get there. And our vendors that we've been working with do this all the time in the city of Anaheim. They're like, we're used to this. We're used to having an Angel game happening at the same time as a thing at the Honda Center, a sold out concert, by the way, at the Honda Center, which could accommodate twice as many people that we are going to have there.
Wow. Probably
half the arena, you know, when they have a full game there. So they're used to this and feel very confident in our transportation plan.
Awesome.
And we are going to have lots of bag check, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, and the stuff. You know? I know a lot of people are like, what do we do with our stuff?
We're going to be walking out with handfuls of things. We're going to have a bag check at the Anaheim Convention Center before you get on the shuttles. We will also have a bag check at the Honda Center. We're just trying to encourage people not to bring stuff to the Honda Center just because it's going to be cumbersome. You can't bring it into the venue anyway. They have a clear bag policy. That's the Honda Center's policy that you can't bring anything larger than a small clear bag. So it's better if you can check it at your hotel, if you're staying at a hotel beforehand, or check it at the ACC, Anaheim Convention Center. That's our internal lingo. check it at the Anaheim Convention Center before you get on the bus is probably the best way to do that. And then when you get back, you'll be able to retrieve it.
Look at that.
Sounds like you guys have figured it all out.
D23 thinking of everything and making sure the fans can have the best and smoothest experience that they can.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
That's what it's all about. Nobody wants to be waiting in long lines or figuring out parking logistics and all of that stuff. It's trying to make it as seamless as possible. I know there's going to be some wait times. It's just the nature of these type of things, of course, but kind of like going to Disneyland, you're going to have to wait in line to see the attractions, but try to make it at least as seamless as possible. We certainly do not want to make it complicated. We certainly do not want to, that's not our intent. We don't want people to have a bad time. We want them to have a good time and enjoy and maximize their time at the event. That's why get rid of some of these lines if we can.
Yes. So.
Well, we're both very excited to attend the convention this year. I'm excited to see, of course, all the stuff at the archive stage and everything like that, and the new shopping
and the archives exhibit
and the parks. I mean, all the exhibits are just amazing. So,
the archives exhibit this year, car show,
that's gonna be so cool.
It's gonna be awesome, and some of the vehicles that we have coming out, it's pretty awesome. So everything from television, movies, attraction vehicles from the theme parks, and even one I'm hoping is going to come together that I can't really share yet.
Yeah, that's fine.
We understand.
This is the problem speaking with someone like yourself that knows all this stuff is you're like, well, I'd love to talk about that, but.
I feel for him because I would be like dying. I'd be like, it's so cool, but I can't say
that's
it.
That's why you don't have the job.
No, I would keep my mouth shut, but I'm saying it would be hard.
I would
not.
Really
we don't
want to
share anything. It's just we want to make sure everything's all buttoned up first, and then we're okay. So
you're like, okay, it's good to share now. Totally understand.
Well, you don't want to set high expectations, and then like something happens, and then people are all disappointed. Totally understand that. That's a
great
question.
The questions that I have, which kind of lends to that, is so usually the schedules for like the stage presentations at the Expo Center. Or at the expo itself get released kind of at some point. What do you have a kind of a time frame as to when we might start seeing what some of those big fun panels are going to be?
Absolutely. In July, we're going to be releasing the full panels and presentation schedule, as well as open reservations. So people are going to be able to go in and reserve a couple of shows that they like, very similar to last year. So you can have a guaranteed spot at some of your favorite shows you want to check out. So separate from the Honda Center, by the way. Yep. So this is all the other panels presentations that we're going to have on the premiere stage, Hyperion stage, the archive stage, all of that. So the whole content lineup is going to be rolled out in just a few weeks in July.
That's another thing that I'm super excited about is that the reservations. You can make them, but also if you can't make it, you can then release it so somebody else can then take that spot. I think
that's right.
I mean, it just makes sense. It just makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So you can reservation. Yes, exactly. So.
Is there anything upcoming with the expo that you would like to tell our audience about that, like you think is super important that maybe might have been overlooked or some more information on or anything like that?
I always just say, just go in with an open mind. You can have a schedule in your head that you want to maybe check and some things that you want to accomplish, but go in with an open mind. It's kind of like going to Disneyland, right? You might have an attraction that you wanted to hit and maybe, you want to wait until the sun goes down or the line's a little shorter or something, so you just have a contingency plan for anything. And don't be disappointed. I think there's so much to explore. And I don't think people get a chance to really see all the stuff on the show floor and all the pavilions. And there's so much to do there and see I'm hoping this year we can get people to have a little more time to do that with mitigating some of these things. So that's what I say. Just go in and have a great time. Just enjoy it. Get there early. Stay late and enjoy the whole show. And by the way, we're kicking everything off on Thursday.
Yeah.
At Disneyland. So it's our first time ever of doing a D23 day at Disneyland. So we're going to have special entertainment there, special cavalcade, a special merch, some special food, special characters. I mean, all of this is going to, it's going to be a really fun week of activities.
So, we already have our park reservations for Thursday.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, Teresa made that before we made our reservations that we're going to go later this month. So yeah. It's kind of funny. I think you're totally right, though. I think one of the things we've been telling our listeners and people who are going, especially first timers, you're not going to see everything. Pick my suggestion. I think our suggestion for people is pick like one or two things that you are your like must do's that day, and then just kind of like enjoy, because there's so many things. We've been to the expo a few times now, and every time we find stuff that we like weren't even aware of beforehand. Like we just run into it and we're like, oh, that's super cool. And if you're so regimented and stuff, like you're going to miss out on some of that stuff that I think you can miss out on some real gems if you're just trying to schedule yourself too much. So pick one or two things that are really important to you maybe, and just kind of enjoy the rest of it. I mean, you guys cater, you know, you create this whole experience for everybody, that, you know, there's stuff for everybody, all types of things.
And like I said, I kind of compare it going to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Go and see the two or three things you really want to do at Disneyland. You know, you can't go on every single attraction and see every single show in one day, but you can certainly have the time of your life there. So go and see two or three things you really want to see. And you know what? Stop and watch the parade, even though you weren't expecting to. You know, it's a lot of fun. So same kind of idea.
Absolutely. Totally.
Definitely. This is kind of an interesting one since you've already worked there. But if you could go back and work at Disneyland, what would you do? Sky's the limit. You can make up your own.
I don't know how he's going to pick, because his current job is like the best job.
I know.
You know, working at Disneyland, though, it's pretty special. It felt like a different job there than what I'm doing here, of course. But, you know, I think I did my favorite job, and that was performing down Main Street as a parade performer. That's pretty fun. And I would go back and do that in a heartbeat. There's something really great about just everyone smiling and waving and just having a great time as they watch the parade go by. And you're just creating some fun for people. There's something really cool about that. So I would say I would go back in a heartbeat and be a parade.
What parade were you in, if you don't mind?
I was in the World According to Goofy parade. Oh. I don't know if you remember this one, but it was a smaller parade that was, I think it was before Aladdin. There was Aladdin there between Lion King and Aladdin, somewhere in that
time. Gotcha.
I wasn't in the Main Street Electrical Parade. I actually did more atmosphere performers stuff than I did parades, but I was in some of the parades. So
that's cool. Yeah, really fun. Those parade performers, man, we always comment on how it doesn't matter if you're at the front or like at the beginning of the route or at the end. They have the same level of energy, and we have no idea how they do it.
That was over 30 years ago for me. I don't know if I could still have that same energy and momentum that they do. I applaud them for their effort. It's a lot of work. They, you know, everyone really truly just loves it. They just love what they do. Love getting out there on the street performing. It's so much fun. So it doesn't matter if it's 110 degrees outside. You just go out there and you just have a great time. So it's really fun. So great. So many great memories. I'm still friends with a lot of people from over 30 years ago at Disneyland. And great, great, great memories. For sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Michael, for taking the time to chat with us, to tell us a bit about your Disney backstory, as well as what we can look forward to for D23.
Where can people online go find updates and the schedules and stuff that are coming out? And I don't know if you have social media you'd like to share or anything like that, but where can people find you online if you have any of that?
I always direct people to d23.com. That's the best source of information. There's a whole event page on there about the Ultimate Disney Fan Event that you can find. We constantly populate it with new information. That's where we're going to be posting our schedules, panels, and presentations. Keep an eye out for our Disney D23 emails. We just went over a whole list of right before this interview, actually. and we're sending out guest communications leading up to the event. So there's going to be a lot of guest communications leading up. So look out for your emails. Social media will be posting as well. So at Disney D23 is the handle to follow.
Perfect. Well, thank you again, Michael. I just want to say, like, really deep heart, thank you for everything that you and your team do. Yeah. I think it's so cool that you are like a huge Disney fan yourself, And so that just makes kind of the events and everything more special, because it's, you know, it's someone that's passionate about it, and it's not just somebody that's doing it because it's their job. So I think that's really amazing. And I think it does come through in everything that you guys put together. So thank you, and to your team as well.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me on the pod. I am glad we finally made this happen. This
was
great, and love to do it again. And I look forward to seeing you both at Disneyland or at D23, of course, and maybe somewhere else in between. Who knows?
Yeah. We'll keep our eyes out for you during D23. That might be hard to. We'll just wave from you when you're on stage.
Oh, please come. Please come by me and say hello. I love hello there, the fans. So, for sure.
Definitely.
You have heard us talk about our great experiences staying at the Howard Johnson Anaheim. Well, we have partnered with them to offer our listeners some cool discounts. Weekly tiers can get 15% off their stay. To take advantage of these discounts, head on over to dealweekly.net and click on the Howard Johnson logo. Be sure to use the promo code on the website to get that discount and enjoy staying at the Hojo. It's like super close. You can look out and see the Matterhorn fireworks shoot off from right there.
And the rooms are super clean and the beds are crazy comfortable.
I think we're going to take advantage of their pool this time. We just haven't.
We just might.
I got to remember to bring my swimsuit.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like we're coming in for a landing, gang. But please stay listening until trivia comes to a stop. The menus can walk to the nearest exit. Thanks for listening to the 8th Wonder of the World, DL Weekly.
Welcome back to Trivia Land, where we're going to find out the answers to tonight's questions and see how Tag and Teresa did, and find out how you did listening at home. Tag, Teresa, how do you feel?
Yeah.
You know, cautiously optimistic?
Yeah.
That's a very wishy-washy sound you're making there,
Teresa. That's how I'm feeling.
Well, you know, I'm going to say I feel that you two did quite well tonight.
Wow.
I'm very proud of you both. Let's find out officially, shall we?
Yes.
Your first regular round question from me doing some Googling. What year was Jim Henson inducted as a Disney legend? Tag said 1997. Teresa said 1992. The correct answer that I was looking for was 19th of August, 2011.
Wow, look at you really putting us there.
Come on, that was funny.
That was good. Fun bit of extra, like a trivia answer somebody could use later. Same year that Jodie Benson.
Oh, and Paige O'Hara.
And Paige O'Hara.
Okay.
And Anika Nori Rose.
Yeah. Huh. So lots of great people that year.
Yeah. And the plaque for Jim Henson's induction can be seen at Disney Studios in Burbank.
Yeah.
Your second regular round question from my Googling. In 1991, Disney World got a Muppets attraction, Muppet Vision 3D. What year did this attraction finally come to Disneyland? Teresa said 2001. Tag said February 9th, 2001.
Come on, baby.
The correct answer that I was looking for was February 8th, 2001.
So close.
Debuted as an opening day attraction at Disney California Adventure.
So are you giving it to Tag since he was trying to be
extra?
Yeah,
he's totally getting it.
Okay.
24 hours is it's
he only
close
asked
enough
for the year.
I know. Yeah. I know.
No, that was very impressive. Well done, both of you.
The 8th. I don't know why the 9th popped
no
in.
Idea.
But you know what? A day off, that's not bad.
No, that was very well done. Yes.
wiping the sweat off my brow for that one.
Your third regular round question from listener Keith N. Who was the original sponsor of the Enchanted Tiki Room, and what were they promoting? Tag said, Tahitian Airlines promoting flights to Hawaii. And Teresa said, an airline promoting flights to Hawaii. The correct answer that I was looking for was promoting their flights to Hawaii.
Hey, half a point.
United Airlines.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Both that. Of you getting half credit for that one.
Yeah, because you said airlines. You didn't say...
I know. You're welcome. You thought it was Dole.
That is true. That is true. Good job, Teresa.
And your fourth and final regular round question from listener Sarah P. You recall that Sarah has been asking great questions about the origins and the founding and the creating and building of DCA. Which Walt Disney World Hotel was the resort inside DCA based off of? Both of you saying Disney's Grand Floridian Resort Hotel and Spa. The correct answer that I was looking for was Disney's Grand Floridian Resort Hotel and Spa.
Ooh. Boom.
That was a tricky question.
But I think thematically it might have been off of the...
Thematically, it's more along the lines of the Wilderness Lodge.
And the bonus question tonight from listener Cooper C. On the attraction Casey Jr. Circus Train, there are two parts from another still existing attraction that are now two train cars. What attraction did these two train cars come from, and what are the train cars? Both of you answering, the sleigh-style cars that are kind of open air and look like, you know, sleds, and that they came from King Arthur's Carousel. The correct answer that we were looking for was the two sleigh-style cars that are open air and look like sleds, and they came from King Arthur's Carousel.
Can I just say I'm impressed that, like, I had the answer for that one? Because usually you're the one who pulls all these weird things out of your head.
Good job, Tag.
Yeah.
Very
usually
well
you're
done on
quick
both
on the
you.
Shot for all those things. You know, in my advanced age, it's hard for me to pull information out of my brain as quickly as you.
Okay, that's the reason.
It is.
She's just got that spryness of youth.
Oh,
she does. She's got that Disney Tinkerbell pixie dust inside of her
for
brain.
For any of you that are wondering, the age gap is not that big.
Well, listeners, how do you think Tag and Teresa did? How did you do listening at home? Do you have that perfect question that you'd love to hear on the air? Or perhaps you were able to find more out about Jim Henson and the Muppets in Disneyland than I was able to find. Well, if you've got that perfect question that you would really love to hear, please feel free to send that in to dlweekly.net/trivia.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
And a special thank you to Sidell for editing the podcast.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us, and we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.